Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I'm glad that we'll be able to do everything that we have to do in the kingdom today. So I'm going to just go ahead and pray and just get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more. May we sojourn in the land of promise by walking in the Spirit, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we want to pick back up at the root of it all. This will be part two. And so as a review, we'll just kind of go over some things. I was speaking last week about the heart bringing forth what's inside it. And that's something that we have to really understand and walk in the truth of. You know, sometimes we are still trying to get God to do what he's already finished. And some of the things that I find as a challenge that we walk in deception is that we're asking God to start a process, okay, that he's already finished. And that's kind of an interesting thing. You are, those of you that have made Jesus Lord of your life, you are born again. So as you are born again, then there becomes opportunities that you have to do things that you could not do prior to being born again. But because we don't understand the process of new life, then we are waiting for God to do things in our flesh or in a realm that we can touch and handle, if you would. And God has done it in the spirit realm, and he's asking you to enter in out of a heart that is convinced that what he said is true. Okay? So what we do a lot is we argue with God based on our sensory perception. Okay? That's what's going to basically be at the root of it all. Because if I believe that a thing is done, I function from that perspective, okay? You know, we say that we live by faith, but yet we will not do things that allow faith to be displayed or allow faith to be seen, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Okay, we're going to kind of just slow down. Again, these are foundational truths that we're dealing with here. It says faith is the evidence. Evidence is not speculation, is it? I mean, he could have used the word speculation, but he didn't. He said if faith is alive, faith brings with it evidence. And it operates in the spirit. Even though the thing that you might have been trying to bring into manifestation is not yet here. Because the rest of that scripture says Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Okay? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not yet seen. We have to become committed to walking by that which we see in our spirit as if the thing that we see in our spirit had the same tangibility as what you see in the natural. Okay? If you don't function from that perspective, we're really just continuing to hope with no manifestation. I don't know about you. I grew tired of a life that sounded good but did not taste good. Is not the word of God the one that tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good? Okay, and again, if in my spirit, when my spirit is made alive or becomes awoke to the things of God, then I get to participate in those things each and every day, 24 hours of the day. See, we should not be coming in and going out of the faith land. One of the things I pray most of the times is that we would sojourn in the land of promise, that we would get used to walking around in it, that we would allow that dimension of life to be so real that we don't exit. We just stay there and learn how to hear from heaven what to do next. Okay, that might be some of the questions that we would have, is that we're saying, Lord, we're waiting, but we don't see anything. Well, I'm asking you, what does your heart see? A statement that I use a lot now is, what does the kingdom say? Okay, if you don't have tangibility in your hand, then I'm going to have to ask you, what's actually in your heart? What are you seeing in your spirit? Because when you see yourself in the spirit with whatever you have requested, when you see there is no other way for it to work out except the way that you see it by the word. Okay, I say these things, and sometimes, you know, we bring religious thinking into a world that is supposed to be spiritual. Okay? And see, the way we define words so differently now. You know, people tell you things like when they're in relationships, they will say things like, we don't have to have a piece of paper. We're married spiritually. No, if you were married spiritually, then the manifestation of what's in the spirit will be in the natural. That's the way it was designed. That which is spirit gives birth in the natural. It doesn't just stay spirit and not manifest. That does nobody any good, including God. Because here's what Jesus told us to pray. He was teaching the disciples to pray, and he told them to pray from this perspective. Pray that his will be done in earth the same way it's done in heaven. In other words, pray from the position that you see in your spirit and bring that vision into manifestation in the earth. See, if we don't do that, then I guess we're just playing church. We're giving mental assent to the thing. And I promise you, that's why they say things like you pray in one hand, hope in one hand, and go to work in the other and see what happens. See which one comes to pass. Well, because you really weren't hoping by that which is spiritual alive on the inside of you. You were functioning out of an intellect. You were thinking that this is what I like, so then this is what I like, that's what I'll gravitate towards. No, if the thing is alive on the inside of you, that which is alive on the inside of you takes precedent over everything else. Okay, this is the way we are supposed to live. We're supposed to live from the inside out. Jesus told us, again, in Matthew chapter 6, to consider the birds, They don't go to the store to try to buy their clothes. They are clothed from the inside out. And he told them, Jesus told us to consider those birds, because your heavenly Father feeds them, gives them everything that they need from the inside out. And unfortunately for us, we have been programmed to try to get things, handle things from the outside, and then confirm what we get on the inside. Once I see a thing, then I'll know I got it. No, once you see it in your spirit, it is alive. Now you get to walk it out. And that which you see, okay, again, Romans chapter 4 tells us that we have the ability to call those things that be not tangible as though they were. Okay? We continue to speak from that position. When you're believing God for your healing, it's not a good thing to question if you can have healing. Because if you don't believe in your heart that the things that you say will come to pass, you will not have the things that you say. Okay, that's Mark 11, 22 and following. You have to believe that the conversations of your heart, okay? You have to believe that the conversations of your heart are now being made active and tangible in your natural life so that you can walk them out. If we don't do that, beloved, then we're doing this whole process of salvation. We're doing the whole process of salvation and grave injustice. Okay, just so that we get it. Here's, again, this is, if it works for one thing, it has to work. It's transferable. You got saved because you, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why? Because with the heart you believe unto righteousness, right standing, the way things are, the way God sees things. You believe unto righteousness, and then you speak from that position, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Confession is made unto possession. Confession is made into tangible substance. Now, faith is the substance of the things that you see on the inside that you hope for. Okay? Not the things that you just desired because you wanted them. That's lust. And he said, now faith is. He didn't say, now lust is. And I will say to you that the process of our lust continues to get us in trouble, because the devil is listening. We can say it that way. The devil is listening to your lust language, and if he brings to pass your lust request, then you will have more confidence in your lust than you will have in the salvation component of what God wants you to have. See, he said that confession is made unto deliverance. It's made unto salvation. Okay, I just want you to kind of, let's just track this thing. See, the way you believe in your heart, that's what's at the root of the whole thing. Proverbs chapter 4, we used it as a foundation scripture. And so let's just go back over there and look at that. Okay? And the whole chapter is a chapter that I would just recommend that you commit to your heart. Okay? And because he tells you these are the things that must happen. He tells you to get wisdom, to get understanding. Don't forsake it. Don't forget it. Don't decline from the words of his mouth. Okay? Because if you do this, then the things, let's read on, starting in verse 4. Again, the whole chapter. Just get in it, live it, okay? Digest it over and over and over again. Okay? verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I'm going to give you a good way of thinking, a good way of understanding. This is good doctrine. He's not giving you fairy tales and fables. He's giving you a good doctrine, something that will produce results every time, all the time. You know, we've lived life and we've had what has been referred to as faith accidents. See, and that's why it's hard to consistently live by faith accidents, because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. See, but God watches over his word. He does not allow his word to come back to him void. His word will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. His word will accomplish that which he pleases. See, there are no faith accidents when you understand how to do what he said by the Spirit. See, if you're going to do it by intellect, we're going to have a big problem. Because I know that sometimes my mind has a good concept and will execute a good concept. Sometimes my mind is clouded. Sometimes my mind is frustrated by the things around me. See, when you function by faith, function in by my Spirit, I don't have to then be subjugated to the things that are circling around me, circumstances. Things circling around me, standing against me. See, if I'm living by faith, then I'm living from the inside the same way that bird is living. See? And the promise that the bird understands is that my Father will feed me. He will give me my supply. See, I mean, if you just consider that. He said that they don't toil. They don't gather into barns. They don't do that. See, they believe God each day, every day, because they know God is faithful. They found that out through the experience of their life or their existence. See, we have a different covenant. The birds have to rely on what is in front of them, what is surrounding them. We have the ability to call those things that be not as though they are. See, you can call for healing when you're under attack. See, and you can bring healing into your now situation. See, that's what you can do. Birds can't do that. Birds just go and go on a branch and wait for whatever God brings in front of them. But we have the ability to allow God, delight ourselves in the Lord, and then he will give us the desires of our heart. He will show things to our spirit man, and then we will be able to bring those things into our life because our spirit man has already received the promise of God. I just want you to kind of see the process that we're supposed to participate in. So we're supposed to pray and build our faith up. God gives us things in our spirit, and sometimes it takes a minute for us to even attribute that God wants me to have it. And then when we decide that God does want me to have it, now I have to build myself up. That's why it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance." Notice, if you do not get built up, your inheritance cannot be given to you. He says, "I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace." Glory to God. See, I mean, these things just preach so much. He says, "I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace." He didn't say, "I commend you unto God and the word of works." Oh, I just want you to get that. See, because I'm not working to get God to do nothing. I believe God for everything that I need. But I don't have to work, because it is a gift that he gives to us through faith. Okay, grace is the position that I put myself in so that the channel of grace will allow faith to work. See? It's not because I earn it that faith works. It's not because I did the exact appropriate things that grace works. Grace is a gift. Okay? Grace is God's ability. Here's a definition that you can use. Grace is God's ability to do for me what I cannot do for myself, even though I don't deserve it. Okay? Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Okay? I couldn't earn it. There was no way that my unrighteous acts caused God to say, I'm going to give you this because of what you've been doing. No, he gave it because of what he wanted to do in me, what he wanted to do through me, what he wanted to do for me. Grace is God's ability to work on my behalf and get things done that I couldn't do, even though I don't deserve it. Okay? So when we start from that, then I'm not trying to, I don't enter into condemnation and I don't spew out condemnation. Since it was not on my merit that I received it anyway, then I can't be condemned, can I? Secondarily, since it was not on my merit, now I don't have to judge other people based on the standard that I present. Because I would probably get mad. I'm sure you can find times in your life when you did this, that you got mad because it looked like God was favoring somebody else more than you. But since you didn't deserve it, does it even matter? See, I project my standard over on other people, and then because of my standard, I disqualify them. And by doing that, I further disqualify myself. Jesus said that again in Mark chapter 11. He says that when you pray, forgive. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So since I'm going to bring my standard into play, and I didn't forgive, release, then I put myself out of position to let grace flow in my life because he's trying to give me what I don't deserve. He's not trying to give me what I earned. Okay? If he's going to give me what I earned, then I'm going to have to approach him from my works position. And the Bible teaches us that my works make me completely incompatible with the faith and the grace of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Okay? So I just want you to kind of to know that. Let's resolve some things. He says, I give good doctrine. Forsake not my law. Okay? So then here is what he is establishing and wanting you to walk in. He wants you to walk in the law of grace. Okay? If you want to walk in the law, then he's asking you to walk in the law of grace. And the law of grace is not contingent upon what you do or do not do. It's not contingent on you. It is by grace that it might be by faith. Okay? It is of grace that it might be by faith. Look at the track. Come on, y'all. It has to be connected to grace so that faith can work accurately. If it's not by grace, then it's going to be by works, and I'm going to have to now deserve it. Earn it. No, it is of grace that it might be by faith. Okay? I just want you to kind of see that so that we can track it. See, because then I eliminate me failing so that I can receive, because it's not contingent on me. This is what he did. He did not take into account my sin against him. He did not impute that against me. He freely forgave so that he can, by grace, freely release. Okay? I mean, if we get that into our heart, because I know a lot of us are believing God for things, but we're coming after the position of receiving based on our merit, okay? And then if today I didn't do all that I know I should do, then I don't allow faith to be alive in that area, so then the receiving becomes work now. Come on, y'all. Jesus in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30, he tells us something. He says, are you heavy laden? Do you have burdens? He says, well, if you do, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. That's an exchange right there. He said, take my yoke and use it. Don't take your yoke and try to use it. Take my yoke upon you. And then since you're going to utilize my yoke, you might need to learn how it works. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Why would you want to do that? Because I'll turn over there. I'll try to get back to Proverbs chapter 4. I'll try to get back there. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Okay? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that's trying to work for this thing. All you that's trying to earn it. He said, will you come to me? He's talking to two different groups of people here. The first group is the people that's trying to earn it, that's trying to deserve it. Because when you try to deserve it, you're going to disqualify yourself, because you're going to remember things that will make you feel inadequate to receive. Okay, I just want you to know he's going to talk to the first group. And he said, if you come into that category, okay, he's going to speak to you and ask you to stop that. He says, come unto me, all. Okay, I love the word all, because I found out it means all. And that's all it means. It means I can't mess up if I fit in the all. I cannot be excluded if I'm found in the all. I just need to find out, where am I? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Okay? So then if you are trying to earn it, deserve it, then he says, come to me, and I'm going to give you a new paradigm. Come to me, all who labor, and all of the ones who are heavy laden. That the ones that recognize they couldn't earn it, and they feel guilty because they're even talking to God, who is so good and wants to give me stuff, but I just don't deserve it. He says, if you find yourself in that position of thought, that you find that I'm trying to earn it or that I can never earn it, either one of them, he says, will you do me a favor, please? Would you come to me, because you are in the number all. He says, and when you come to me in any of these conditions, notice what I will do. I will circle the word, underline the word, give you rest. See, you don't have to earn it. If the person, how many of you, if your boss said, if you come to work tomorrow, I will give you a full check. How many of you would go to work expecting a full check on tomorrow? All of us would. Because he said, all you got to do is come here tomorrow and I will give you a full check. That's basically what Jesus just said. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you the ability to stop toiling for things. I'll give you the ability to understand. That's why in Proverbs he said, I give good doctrine. Then he says, get understanding. In what? In my good doctrine. Don't get understanding in your religious thinking. Get good understanding in my doctrine. And my doctrine, the way I want to do it is, I want to give you rest. Okay, that's what it says in my Bible. Your Bible should say the same thing, or you might need to change that Bible. He didn't say, I'm going to make you earn it. Okay, I'm sorry. He didn't even say there was going to be a delay in your earning it. He said, if you come and you don't think this way, I will give you. See, that's another one of the differences between earning and it being given to me. See, if I have to earn it, then I'm going to have to equate whatever measure that I believe you have so that I can receive it. I've got to give you your 40 hours before I can get my check. But Jesus said, no, if you will come, and don't think that way, if you will just come because you are heavy laden. Come because you are not at rest. Because you had burdens. Come because of that, and then I will give you something else. I will give you what you need to eliminate the burden. To help me out if that's the way it needs to. You need. He says, come to me, and I will give you what's necessary to eliminate the burden and eliminate the heavy laden. The labor, whatever was making this thing laborious, I'll remove it. And whatever was making you heavy, I'll remove it. I'll give you what you need to resolve that issue. I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. The word upon is a compound word. It means take my yoke, not over you. Okay, I don't need you to take the yoke over you. I need you to take the yoke up on you. This needs to come out from the inside and then go up till it covers you. Up on. Take my yoke up on you. He did not ask you to go pick his yoke up and then put it on you. He asked you to put it in you and then let it come up on you. He wants you to live in the overflow, not in the dousing. Okay, let's get that. He's asking us, inviting us to live in the overflow, what comes up on. Okay, not what can be put on. You know something, when you put something on, you can change it quickly. But if it comes up on you, it's still going to be flowing from the inside, flowing down, isn't it? Yeah. You can go to the high-end retail store and you can find clothes that you would put on you. And they might make you feel good for a while till they get dirty, old, or tattered. But if I allow something to be put on the inside and it comes up on me, that can last, according to what Jesus said in John chapter 4, you can drink of this water and you'll never thirst again. Why? Because it will come up on you. It will be a well of life springing up. Okay? So he's asking you to think about it and approach it from a different perspective. He wants you to come to him, take his yoke, and learn of him. Okay? Up on you. Okay, well, let's make sure I dig into it again. Take my yoke up on you and get your information from that source. Don't get your information from the outside and try to clothe yourself from the outside. He says, I want you to get this information from up on you. Okay, I'm hoping you get that. In other words, okay, we'll do it this way. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to you, and part of his job description is to bring to you your remembrance what Jesus is saying. That would be information and inspiration that comes up on you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he's going to bring information from the inside up on us. And he's asking us to receive the information, take my yoke up on you, and learn from what comes up on you. And I know most of the time we went to school and we learned by what was disseminated to us, not through us. Life is experiential. He wants you to live by that which comes through you. Because if I live by that which comes through me, it can affect change for that which comes up, comes at me. See, unto and up on is two different things. I can experience life by the things that come unto me. Okay? And sometimes those things could be good. Sometimes those things could be bad. But here's what he says. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father. See, that's a different position, isn't it? Because the Father's in me, and he brings that information up on me. So I want to give you the understanding that you can live by inspiration instead of just impartation, what comes unto you. And a lot of times, we have always lived our life experientially by that which came unto us, by that which faced us. When God is wanting us to live from the inside out, just like those birds. Okay? So my flow of life, okay, again, this is Proverbs chapter 4, when he says, guard your heart diligently, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of it, not unto it. I don't have any issue with education. I got that. But see, the words that Jesus gave us, we're supposed to live by those words. So then I can get a revelation from inside. Revelation usually comes from the inside, comes to the inside. And so then, because the entrance of his word giveth light, it gives understanding. That's from the inside. And Jesus said, if you would allow me to get your life constructed from this position, I will build my church upon revelation, and the gates of hell, the authority that hell has, will not be able to prevail against that. Why? Because it's coming up on you. Okay? If the source is from inside, then it's greater than the source that's coming from the outside, isn't it? Because the source that's coming from the outside is waiting for a direction of my turning. But the stuff that's on the inside is going to overtake all of the stuff that's coming outside. That's why he said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world or that's coming at you. Take my yoke up on you and learn from that position, from what comes up out of your spirit. And he says, why? Because I'm different. I am trying to get you to function from a position of being meek and lowly in heart. Okay, all right, wow. You're going to display what Jesus is by understanding who he is. I'll say it again. We're going to display what Jesus is in the earth by understanding who Jesus is in the earth. If I don't know who he is, then I will not know what he's doing in the earth, will I? Okay. Jesus is trying to do things in your life, and the good things that happen, sometimes we call it luck. We don't know Jesus as the one that provides the good. So we call it luck. So then I don't understand that he was trying to get me to live what he wants to do because I understand who he is. Okay. He says, now, this is very interesting here, and I'm trying to slow it down. He told us to take his yoke up on us, learn from that, because he's not going to force knowledge at us. Bad things happen, and if you would, that would be forcing information on you, forcing a choice on you. Jesus said, I'm not that way. The inspiration and information that I want to give you is going to come out of a heart that is meek and lowly. You know, I know that sometimes we've been given information that says God is going to beat us over the head if we don't do right. Well, according to this scripture, Jesus just said that's not the way he wants to teach. He said, I want you to take my yoke up on you because I am meek and lowly of heart. Why would Jesus teach me from pride and then tell me not to participate in pride? He just told me that I want to teach you from a heart position that is meek and lowly. You can learn better that way. Men learn better at rest. They learn less through stress. We learn best at rest. We learn less through stress. So then Jesus would not try to teach us through stress, would he? According to the scripture, y'all, I am meek and lowly of heart. I'm the one that wants you to find rest unto your souls. I'm not trying to cause you to learn from stress. We learn better at rest. We learn less through stress. So then all of the stress that's in your life, I would submit to you, is not there by God to teach you. It's generally there because we sow seeds of discord. And we reap stress from what we sow. Don't be confused. Do not get it misunderstood. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you gonna reap. See? So he says, what I need for you to do, come unto me. And then there will be a time of exchange, a time of learning. And in this time of learning, you will take his yoke up on you, and you will learn from a heart that is meek and lowly. He didn't tell you right there in this sentence, he didn't tell you to be meek and lowly. You will get to that later. He told you to learn of him because he's going to teach from a position of meekness and low and humility. I was telling my daughter today, and she was saying something that we had told her that she was not operating in humility. She was not participating in humility. And so she said, well, I'll go on and do it this way. Well, no. Just making a decision to do a thing did not teach you humility. That taught you preference. Didn't teach you humility. Humility is another whole thing. It's a decision that you make not to function in what you've been doing before. That's a decision. It's going to require an action. Got that. See? But if I think my action is all that there is to humility, I can still do the right thing with the wrong heart, can't I? I didn't participate in humility. I just made it preference. I don't want to go through this, so I'm going to do that. That's not humility. That's preference. You made the decision based on what you didn't want to go through. See? That's not humility. That's actually inverted pride. That you can use that as self-preservation. I don't want to starve, so I'm going to do this. That wasn't humility. That was preference. You didn't want to starve. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me because I am. For I am connects my learning to the way he wants to teach. Did I see that? Am I seeing that wrong? He just said, take my yoke and learn. I want to teach you from a position of lowly in heart and humility. I want to teach you so that you can find rest unto your souls. For my way of teaching, the thing that I'm trying to get you to come into, he said, it is easy. It is light. I remember doing things that God told me to do with my teeth gritted because I was kind of upset that I had to even do it and had to do it this way. That doesn't sound like it was easy and light. I made it very grievous, didn't I? Because I didn't take his yoke and let it come from the inside out. I tried to put it on and present a front that says, I'm connected to God. I don't have to present a front that says, I'm connected to God. I'm the one that should be learning here. Come on, y'all. Okay. If I'm putting on a front that says, I'm connected to God, I'm trying to teach other people by my execution of a word. Is that not correct? I'm trying to make them learn. He didn't tell me to make them learn. He asked me to learn. I don't know how we turn this stuff around so quick. Will they take knowledge of you that you've been with Jesus? Yes, they will. But if I'm going to offer it, then I'm not learning. I'm trying to teach. See, a life that is lived in the Spirit is seen by men. That's what Jesus said. He said, I want you to do things so that men will see your good works, not that you will display. Come on, y'all. I'm bringing these words out so that we can see it. He said men would see your good works. He did not say you will display your good works. They will, let's do it this way, they will discover your good works, not they will trip over them. If I'm presenting my good works, people will probably trip over them. But if they discover them, then they're not even looking for them. I'm not putting them on Front Street. They come up out of their own understanding. They go, that brother is just walking in humility. He's not trying to present humble pie so I can see it. He's living it. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Because I'm going to present things to you from a way that is humble, lowly in heart. He doesn't teach us in pride so that we can stop doing wrong things. He teaches us in humility. This is all done by invitation, beloved. Everything that God does in our life is by invitation. He is a gentleman. That's why he says stuff like, whosoever will, let him come. See? It's all done by invitation. And since it's done by invitation, the Bible says that the laborer must first be a partaker of the fruit. See, if I have not taken it up on me, okay, then there is no way it's going to work through me. And if it can't work through me, oh, you want to write this down. If it can't work through me, it can't work for me. Okay? God is going to do everything in your life by invitation, and he wants you to participate by receiving it first. And then as you receive it and understand that it is your daily bread, it is your nutrients that you must have to live. And then as you live like that, then your life will change because it comes out of you. Out of your bellies flow the issues of life. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. I hope you're getting some out of this. These are some of the reasons why the flow has not worked in our lives. We're still making demands on God, and we haven't allowed the Word to be alive on the inside of us, because the Word, you're going to see that, the Word produces this. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Verse 18 and following. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. He just said the path of the just is as a light that just keeps on shining. It shines more and more. See, it's not something that's displayed. It's like being energized by the ever-ready battery. It just shines more and more. It never cuts off. It never runs out. It's not just on display, see? Because if it's on display, then when you turn, I cut it off. But if it's there for permanent flow, it shines more and more. Glory to God. When I'm under pressure, it shines. When I'm under heavy pressure, it shines more. When you're not looking, it shines. One of the reasons that God would want us to be light is so that when people who are not thinking about looking in your direction see this light emanating from your life, they say, I got to go see why that's still turned on. Because I know what he was going through. And if I was going through that, I would have turned the light off. But this light that he's shining, the light of the just, the path of the just, it shines more and more. And it shines, listen at this, unto the perfect day. Oh, glory to God. We should not be fair weather Christians. When everything is going good, we can then walk with God. No, when things are going bad, this path should emanate light that shines more and more, and it shines until the perfect day comes. Glory to God. It says, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. The way of the wicked. It did not say there the deeds of the wicked. It said the way of the wicked. That's what the wicked people do, what's in their way. Okay, I said that was cute. Wicked people do what's in their way. The way of the wicked. Whatever's in their heart, whatever is their default, they do what's in their default. They do what's in their way. You know they're wicked because that's what's in their way. That's not tripping them up. That's the path. That's the way they have chosen to live. And because that's the way that they've chosen to live, we see wickedness. We see trouble. We see darkness. We see them stumble. Come on, y'all. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't even know what they stumble at. They don't know. They keep getting in trouble with their own way. Come on, that's good, sir. The thing that's troubling the wicked is their way. what's not the thing that's troubling the wicked is their way, not their actions. It's the thing that caused their actions, their way. This is the mindset that they have. This is the heart position that they have. That's their way. And then they keep stumbling because their way gets in their way. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to ALL all their flesh. Your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows or comes the issues of life. See, that's what's at the root of it all. It's the habits that you've already formed, that's your way. Okay. Again, the habits in your heart are that's your way. The actions of your habit, that's what we judge. We need to start looking at, okay, what was my intent? Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder from the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay? He wants us to allow his word to change our way. That's why it has to be up on. See? I have to let it come out of the heart of man. That's where he said the issues of life. If I don't change what's in the heart, I ain't gonna change what I do. I might have the ability to say I'm sorry quicker, but I'm still doing it. I used to tell my daughter all the time, if you say I'm sorry after you shoot me, that might be good, but I still got blood coming out. I'm still shot. Your apology really didn't change the fact of the thing. It might have changed your, it might have specified your intent. It might have made a disclaimer for your intent, but there still is a bullet in my body. Blood is still leaking. See, what you need to do is change the intent, change the heart. Keep his words in front of your eyes. You know, we do things because we don't see Jesus clearly. We don't see that his way is supposed to be the way I walk in. We see that, well, they cussed me out, so I'm going to cuss them out. I don't see Jesus, and I don't see his word. I don't have that as first place. I don't let that come up on. You know, I was newly saved when these things happened, but I was serious, and I just decided that I'm going to be serious. Let me just tell you right now. I used to cuss like a sailor, okay? Because I thought that if I said words that had impact, that could reach a soul, then I would have to deal with whatever mess there was. I'd get you off my case by the words that I said. And so I chose them quickly. And I chose them to be rough so that you would get my message quickly. Okay? I didn't know that I was supposed to have a light that shines more and more. I was just having a quick light so that you can see. I don't want you messing with me right now. Cuss, cuss, cuss. I'm done. And so then I got saved. And I found out that I'm not supposed to let any filthy communication proceed out of my mouth. And that's the way it's stated. It's not supposed to proceed. So then that means I'm supposed to cut it off. It might have been in my mind. It might have been in my thoughts. It might have been in my existence prior to. But I'm not supposed to let any filthy communication proceed out of my mouth. So I said, okay, I got to deal with that. God, you're going to have to help me. I'm going to have your word in my heart. I'm going to hide your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. And so, I worked in construction. And so I was doing some things, and I had a hammer in my hand, and I was trying to nail something, and I missed the nail, and I hit my hand. And because the word had been replaced, the word had replaced everything else that was in there, when I hit my nail,
I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And one of my coworkers, you know, turned around and looked at me and said, wow, you must be showing up saved. And I hadn't even thought about it, but it was instant now. See, it was going to flow out of me because my decision was to let it be. And I just didn't say, the convenient cuss word, bless the Lord. No, I said the scripture. I kept the word in front of me. I said the whole scripture. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And so she said, wow, sometimes when I do something like stick myself or whatever, I don't know. I said, well, I didn't practice that. I just put the word in there, and that's what came out. So that was like over now 30 years ago. So then I'm asking you, beloved, if you would take the word, take his yoke up on you and learn from there. Because every time I did something that was an opportunity for flesh to be seen, I learned that I could bridle my tongue. I learned that. I took his yoke up on me, and I learned that. So that I didn't have to spew out cursings. I did not have to spew out defamations. I could release life because I wanted to live. Okay? Then you will find out that as you do that in your everyday life, you will stop having the potential for road rage. You will stop having the potential for arguments because you will release the life that's in the Word of God. He said, guard your heart. And he said to do it diligently. See, if I'm still cussing you out sometime, I do better on Sunday, but I don't quite make it to Wednesday, then I didn't guard my heart diligently. Because he said, guard your heart diligently. Why? Because out of a heart that is guarded diligently comes only one thing, life, the issues of life, not the issues of death. See, I stopped making excuses for myself because God knows my heart. No, God told me to guard my heart. He wanted me to know my heart. See? Because out of it flows. See, I was tired of having drip, drip, drip experiences of life. He says if I would guard my heart diligently, I would then create a flow. I don't have to have faith accidents anymore. I can have and participate in a flow. Glory to God. And then when I hear the flow, because again, out of your belly will flow rivers. When I hear that promise, it makes me happy because he didn't say will flow a river. He said will flow rivers. The last time I saw two rivers that came together, it made a convergence. And the things that were at the point of that convergence, they would come up and pop up. And I could get what I need because the flow caused my things that are necessary to come up out of those rivers that I have now participated in. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Life, and more life. Light, and more light. And it's going to continue until the day of perfection. Glory to God. So, again, this was review, and I still haven't got to where I'm trying to get to. We'll just do a little bit right quick. Turn to Mark chapter 4. The heart produces what's in it. And sometimes we allow things to go into our heart that are not necessary for our life. Okay. There are things that go into our heart that are not necessary for our life, but they are in our existence. There is a difference between existence and life, beloved. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He did not say, I am come that you might continue in existence. If I take his yoke upon me, life is now what's available to me. Because I won't be trying to learn from stress. I will learn at rest. I don't have to have urgency in my dissertations. See? I don't have to try to prove it. I'd rather live it. Mark chapter 4. A heart that is diligently guarded. You remember in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was teaching by the wayside, and the multitude was all around him, and he said in verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass that as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, but immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns and grew up and choked it, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he that hath ears, let him hear. That's just a good thing to know. He's not talking about these mitt catchers on the side of your head. He's talking about a heart that is listening to the word, a heart that is engaged in then following the word so that he can do the word. Because if I do the word, listen to what he said in verse 8. It says, and other fell on good ground. Everybody say, that's me. Say, I'm good ground. And it says that because it fell on good ground, it did yield fruit. And then it said that fruit did something. It did yield fruit, and the fruit sprang up. And the fruit increased. And the fruit brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. A good ground, a good heart brings forth this. Okay, come on. A good heart, a good ground doesn't have to try to make it. It brings it forth. It makes it be seen because that's all that's in there. Everything that's brought, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. By your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. A good heart brings it forth. That's why when I hit my stump, I said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I was bringing forth that which is good. I was bringing forth, wow, I was bringing forth healing. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I was bringing forth blessing. I was calling for blessing. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart calls forth that which is good. Boy, I hope you caught that. See, if I'm just going to play with this, then my heart does not get converted. I don't get healed. Oh, okay. We're going to read this. Watch this. He's going to say that. And then when they were alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, it is given unto know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay. You might want to underline that in verse 11. He's already given us the right to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Not a particular issue. He's given me the right to know the mystery of the kingdom. Glory to God. And all things, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven, and I should heal them. Then he said, if you don't know this parable, you ain't gonna know none of them. And he goes on to explain, the sower soweth the word. And these are they, by the way, said, by the, where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away that which was sown in their heart. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, and afterwards, after affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Please underline, circle. The only reason that the persecution and the affliction arose is for the word's sake. And they didn't hold on. It says, and immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown on thorny, on among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Okay? So there's a lot of things that we see there. What I call is the frustrating fire, because the devil, he doesn't have anything, he doesn't have anything new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The devil is the father of lies, and so he tries to plant lies into your heart so that he can have a crop of, that you would end up with a crop of disappointment, frustration, fears, and doubts. He's there to steal the word of God, and then he sells you a lie. A place for compromise, a place for failure. He will either try to counterfeit or compromise. He will either try to counterfeit or compromise. Give you something like, or make you give up on. A compromise is something you give up on because you didn't purpose to guard your heart with diligence so that you would go for anything. Since you wouldn't stand for the word, you would go for anything. You compromise, and therefore the devil has got you to believe a lie, buy the lie, and then you don't get to see the glory of God revealed. Okay? He works things in reverse. And the reason he's able to work things in reverse is because what happens when the frustrating fire kick in, you start processing information through the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. See? Whenever you start doing that, pride rules your past. It perverts your present. And it prevents your future. If all you can think about is me, myself, and I, that would be pride, and it's going to rule your past. Pride cannot rule your future if you don't let it. If you are clothed in humility, pride does not rule your future. Now the word does. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Your inheritance is what's in your future. But your pride, the pride of life, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, they're not of the Father. The pride of life wants to rule your past because of the hurt that you might have experienced. And because of that, it's going to then pervert your present, because you're going to stay in trials longer because the pride of life is ruling because of your past. And now it's going to prevent your future. Pride always does that. It's stuck in the past. This is what they did to me. This is what they said. That's the past. See? And if you allow pride to rule your past, it will then pervert your present. Because then you'll start speaking from your past and say, so I'm not going to let anybody do that again. Whatever the do that is would be your present, wouldn't it? But because of your past, now it perverts your present. You live in fear of what they might do, because they might not. So it perverts your present, and then it prevents your future. Because you're stuck living in your past, trying to protect a supposed present, and you lose future. Beloved, God is interested in us turning these things around. He wants us to stop allowing things that have happened to dictate what will happen. We should go and guard our heart with diligence. Take the word. Take his yoke upon you. Learn of him from a position of heart that's meek and lowly. Find the rest for your soul. Because remember, we learn best at rest. We learn less through stress. But the choice is yours. It's either your way or God's way. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you today. He wants to establish righteousness in you so that you will be able to declare and decree the thing that God wants to have in your life, because you are confidently sure that his word is alive and working. Father, we just bless you. We just praise you for giving us opportunities to win, to engage in victory, because we release things quickly. We will not have at our root yesterday. We will allow your word to be the thing that supplies my need, that gives me my future. Thank you, Father, that as we allow you to do the work in us, take your yoke up on us and learn from that yoke that comes up on, not learning from what comes around us, what comes unto us. Thank you for growing us up, that we will no longer be babes tossed and to and fro by things coming at us, but we will be those that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing in us the things necessary so that we can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now we're going to go ahead and open up the mics. So if you want to have commentary on the ministry for today, we're going to give you a chance to ask questions or make comments. So area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Area code 404-453-2953. Amen. All right. Well, we thank you for being on the call, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. We'll go ahead and allow area code 404-418-1818. You have the mic. Anything you'd like to say. However God has encouraged you, or something you say, I don't know how I'm going to work it out, you can ask any questions. Now is the time. You have the mic. Here we go. 470-418-1818. Amen. And area code 770-719-9104. If there's anything you'd like to say, you have the mic. Area code 770-719-9104. Amen. Again, we just thank you for coming on the broadcast, and we hope that it's been a blessing to you. If you would like to be a blessing to the ministry, you can go and go on the website at livedeliverance.com, and you can just go ahead and be a blessing. Sow a financial seed, and take the unction of God to do something as a something that you haven't done before, planting and giving thanks through an offering, because we are only here to bless you. And as you return the favor by giving of your substance, it causes us to be able to give inspiration and information to those that are hurting in this life,
And we just thank you for whatever it is that you are led by the Lord to do at this time. So if there's no other questions or comments, we would go ahead and wish God's best on your life until we meet you here again at livedeliverance.com. So until then, shalom.